Today, time to forget about more rate cuts as the CPI jumps. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the latest one. This post covering finance and property news. Well, Australia's core inflation accelerated beyond expectations last quarter, which is complicating the Reserve Bank's path to further policy easing and prompting money markets to slash bets on a near-term interest rate cut. The latest data is way off the RBA's August forecast, from 0.6% for the trimmed mean to 1%. And clearly it's heading in the wrong direction. Heads should roll, but of course they will not. Inflation is not low, and it isn't falling. If the RBA did its job, then we should get rate rises, not cuts. All of this is an object lesson for those spruce property purchasers betting on more significant rate cuts ahead. It ain't going to happen. And this also reaffirms my surveys of households who continue to report whopping price rises, hence lingering financial stress for many. Consumer sentiment has continued to decline over the last couple of months, and this news may well see it decline even further. Many economists are now suddenly warning that the interest rate cutting cycle may be over and the next move in rates might be up after the inflation rose more than expected in the December quarter, as businesses passed on high wages and power costs to consumers. The RBA easing cycle is likely over, said Su Lingong, chief economist at the Royal Bank of Canada. Commonwealth Bank of Australia's Belinda Allen concurred, citing the broad-based nature of pricing pressures revealed in the report. Bank of America Securities also sees an end to rate cuts for now, as does JP Morgan Chase & Co. Today's figures are too high for the RBA to be comfortable to cut the cash rate next week, said Dani Marcella, chief deputy economist at AMP, adding that she still sees a case for another easing. We do not think that the September quarter inflation data is the start of a renewed rise in inflation, given the signal from price surveys and faster unravelling in the labour market. The ABS recorded underlying inflation to 3% in the year to September, which is well above economists' expectations of 2.7%, and the first time the annual inflation rate has risen in 3 years, and of course that is at the top end of the target. The trimmed mean, the RBA's preferred measure of inflation that strips out the most volatile price movements, was 1% in the September quarter. That's even higher than the 0.9% quarter rise in underlying inflation that Bullock warned last Monday that would constitute a material miss compared to the 0.6% for the RBA forecast in August. Speaking at the Australian Business Economist's annual dinner in Sydney on Monday night, Bullock reiterated previous statements that the labour market remains tight despite the recent jump in the unemployment rate to 4.5% in September. She cited unit labour costs of around 5% as a factor contributing to the stickiness of services inflation. And Bullock also addressed the recent jump in the unemployment rate from 4.3% to 4.5% in September that exceeded economists' expectations there and had boosted bets for a 25 basis point cut at the RBA's board meeting on Melbourne Cup Day before the latest inflation re-landed. The jump up in the unemployment rate was a bit of a surprise, Bullock said, but monthly numbers can be volatile, and we do know sometimes that they jump up and then they jump back down again. And she said the unemployment rate was still pretty low compared to where it was before the pandemic. We are conscious that we want to try to keep the unemployment rate as low as we can without fueling inflation. And how close are we to that? We think we're close-ish, but it's very uncertain. So we've got to be prepared to consider different possibilities, Bullock said. And she described a mixed picture in recent economic data, such as the monthly inflation result for August, which has surprised the RBA with higher than expected services inflation. On the one hand, we've got unemployment a bit higher. On the other hand, we've got inflation a bit higher, Bullock said. We didn't go up as high as other countries, so it might mean that we don't have to come down quite as far as other countries. I don't want to count the chickens too soon, but what we've managed to achieve is bringing inflation back down and managing to maintain some of the gains to the labour market. To me, it's been a very satisfying outcome. Rising prices for services such as travel, vets and hospitals fueled the higher-than-expected inflation. Housing construction and energy costs also rose, pushing up the headline inflation to 3.2%. Wednesday's data showed discretionary spending, particularly travel and holiday-related activities, was notably strong in the quarter at 1.3%, and non-discretionary jumped 1.4%. Although seasonal in nature, the uplift in discretionary spending is significant, said Divika Shenavadegar, an economist at consultancy RSM Australia. Importantly, the early rate rise appears to be filtering through, boosting consumer confidence and encouraging spending. This renewed momentum is likely to catch the RBA's attention. Commonwealth Bank of Australia's economist Belinda Allen warned the central bank might be forced to increase rates in the middle of 2026 as the moderation in inflation appeared to have stalled. Given the material upside surprise to the consumer price index and the broad-based nature of pricing pressures, we now expect the RBA to hold from here, she said. If inflation remains elevated in 2026, as we expect it could, the RBA may need to act. The data, which showed underlying inflation spiked to 1% in the third quarter, came in well above the RBA's own forecast, prompting bond traders to slash their bets for another interest rate cut this year. Underlying inflation is the RBA's preferred measure, of course, because it strips out the most volatile price movements. Actually, markets are now pricing in just a 4% chance that the Reserve Bank will cut rates when it meets next Tuesday. That's down from 80%, which was priced in just a week ago. The sharp shift in sentiment follows 325 basis point cuts by the RBA this year as the rate of inflation slowed. HSB chief economist Paul Bloxham also expects the RBA to keep interest rates steady in 2026 before an increase in 2027. It looked like today's print to have really convinced us that the disinflationary impulse has completely stalled, he said. Treasurer Jim Chalmers downplayed the bigger-than-expected jump on inflation, emphasising that underlying inflation of 3% was at the top of the RBA's target band of 2 to 3%. Inflation ticked up today, but it's much lower than what we inherited. And that reflects the substantial progress we've made together in our economy, Chalmers said. While headline inflation increased last quarter, this was a larger result of the end of state energy rebates, and it remains much lower than its peak. Bank of America economist Nick Stenner said that he expected the RBA to hold interest rates at 3.6% for an extended period, and the market could start pricing rate hikes as soon as the second half of 2026. And Goldman Sachs economist Andrew Bayak dropped his previous prediction for the rate cuts in November and February, declaring the RBA will now keep the cash rate unchanged indefinitely. The RBA will now keep the policy rate on hold as it waits to assess the durability of recent material upside surprises in both the inflation and the unemployment rate, Bayak said. And Westpac chief economist Lizzie Ellis said that she was conducting a full reassessment of her interest rate forecast in light of the new inflation figures. However, she cautioned against a strongly hawkish interpretation of the data because the December quarter had a history of upward surprises. The near term does look higher now, even with some payback. It will be an overinterpretation of data to carry the December quarter outcomes forward as a new trend, she said. Citibank economist Josh Williamson said that a tight labour market was keeping wages costs elevated, which combined with an increasing consumer demand meant that costs were being passed on consumers. And he said that all the major expenditure groups except one rose in the December quarter, just in price pressures, were being felt across the economy. A key concern heading into this release was market services inflation, which the RBA watches closely as it is an important link to wages growth in the economy, CBA economist Trent Saunders said. And Beta Shares chief economist David Bassanet said that the most disappointing aspect of the quarterly CPI data was the sticky services inflation, which edged higher to 3.5%, up from 3.3% in the June quarter. A rate cut is now a late scratching from Melbourne Cup festivities, he said. Macroeconomist Justin Fabo noted that in the December quarter, inflation for non-essential services like travel and recreation lifted to above 1% for the first time in 2 years. The cost of goods also rose sharply to 3% to the year of September, up from 1.1% annual growth in the June quarter. Now, this was due in part to a 23.6% increase in electricity costs after government energy bill rebate payments in Queensland, Western Australia and Tasmania ended. and the RBA has warned it expects headline inflation to rise as energy bill rebates from federal and state governments expired. Fabo said that the 7.3% seasonally adjusted rise in accessories, which includes jewellery, was partly due to the recent gold price surge. Shadow Treasurer Ted O'Brien attacked Chalmers in Parliament question time over the rise in inflation. Given the Treasurer always takes credit for when inflation falls, will you now take responsibility for today's news of inflation increasing, he asked. Now, looking at the details from the ABS, the Consumer Price Index rose 1.3% in September quarter and 3.2% annually, according to the latest data. That's the largest quarterly rise since March 2023. Largest contributor this quarter was electricity costs, which rose 9%. And as we'll see, this was a result of the earlier government interventions before the election to keep power prices down until they got back into the second term. But we are now paying for it. And of course, the states came along for the ride too. Annual inflation to the September quarter was 3.2%, up from 2.1% in the June 2025 quarter. That was the highest annual inflation rate since the June quarter of 2024, when annual inflation was 3.8%. When prices for some items move by large amounts, measures of underlying inflation like the trimmed mean can give more insights into how inflation is trending. Trimmed mean inflation was 3% in the December quarter, up from 2.7% to the June quarter. That's the first time trimmed mean annual inflation increased since December 2022. The main contributors to the quarterly raises were housing up 2.5%, recreation and culture at 1.9%, and transport at 1.2%. Housing was hit by a large hike in council rates, as well as a rise in electricity costs up 9%, both contributing to the growth in housing inflation in the quarter. Annual electricity price reviews came into effect from July 2025 and increased electricity prices across all the capital cities. In addition, the timing of when some households received rebates also had a large impact. Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund, the EBRF rebates, were extended for 6 months from July 25 to December 2025. However, households in New South Wales and ACT did not receive payments for the extended EBRF in July. Payments of rebates for households in New South Wales and ACT commence in August. Households that did not receive the EBRF rebates in July will receive two payments in October. So there's a lot of noise in these numbers. Recreation and culture rose by 1.9%, driven by a 2.9% rise in holiday travel and accommodation. The school holiday period in July and late September contributed to increases in domestic accommodation and airfare prices. High demand for international travel to Europe, where it was peak travel season, led to price increases for airfares and tours. Transport was up 1.2% this quarter, driven by a 2% rise in automotive fuel prices. Annually, the CPI rose 3.2%, up from 2.1% last quarter. In the annual prices, food and non-alcoholic beverages were 3.1% up in the September quarter. Food inflation continues to be elevated due to higher prices for meals out and takeaway foods, up 3.3% compared to 12 months ago. Other notable price rises over the past 12 months included the 14.6% rise for coffee, tea, and cocoa. This reflects lower supply from major overseas suppliers of coffee beans. Annual goods inflation was 3%, up from 1.1% in the previous quarter. That was due mainly to electricity, the 23.6% rise, while automotive fuel prices had less of a distraction in the 12 months to September, down 1.6% compared to the June quarter, when it was down 10%. Annual service inflation was 3.5% in the September quarter, up from 3.3% in the June quarter. High prices for rents up 3.8%, and medical hospital services up 5.1%, were the main contributors to services inflation. Now, the ABS released the September 2025 monthly CPI indicator, which rose 3.5% in the 12 months of September. That was up from 3% in the 12 months to August. And the most significant contributors to the rise were housing up 5.6%, food and alcohol beverage up 3.1%, and alcohol and tobacco up 5.5%. Now, it's worth remembering that on the 23rd of July 2025, the ABS announced that the first release of the complete monthly CPI will be published on Wednesday, the 26th of November 2025, using the October 2025 reference month. More details are available from the ABS, but this marks the last release of the monthly CPI indicator and the final time that the quarterly CPI will be the primary measure of headline inflation. So, standing back, the point is this. inflation is higher and more rooted in the economy. The RBA has got it quite badly wrong and will definitely sit on their hands and may even have to lift rates rather than cut them further. And the unemployment noise in the statistics there is considerable and so should be largely ignored at the moment. But the bottom line for households is that costs are going to continue to rise, real incomes are still, for many people, going backwards, and for those who are thinking of getting into the property market and leveraging up on the expectation of more rate cuts ahead, forget it. You need a plan B. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.